you born in Worthing?
No, I was born up in Bellevue, Ohio, the northern part of the state.
Yeah.
And we came here in 1913.
Oh, yeah.
And we lived over here on South Street, on the corner of South and Hartford.
There probably wasn't any Kinney Street then, was there?
Oh, heavens no, this was cornfields down here.
Yeah.
And even across from our house, which is that nice house where Donald Barnes lives now.
Uh-huh.
And they've done so much to it. And across from that was just a field. It had one house in it. And that was a tenant. A tenant lived there for the farm.
Right.
It was over there.
And right across the street from us, there were Kilbourne Village. It was all fields when we moved there.
Oh, sure.
Just cornfields.
Yeah, over by the church.
Bellevue, that's is that by Mansfield, or is that by Lake Erie?
No, that's up near Lake Erie.
Oh, yeah.
Near Sandusky and Norwalk.
Yeah, I won't do that. So you're just before World War One.
Oh, yeah, this was 1913.
Just before the war.
Mm-hmm.
What was Worthington like during World War One?
Well, it was... I don't know. You see, I was a child, and I didn't realize that what a war was and what was going on, really.
Oh, yeah. Your family moved down from Belleville.
Mm-hmm.
Bellevue. Oh, you were just...
See, my father worked for Mrs. Eldridge, who had a school. In the early 1900s, she had a school where that Lane's Coats house used to be, in that house. And she had handicapped children, but she also had other children, too. They were handicapped children, and children of the first families in Worthington went there. And she prepared them for high school. And then she bought some land, which is down in Rest Village now. And she had
Rush Village.
Yeah, down here on South Street. And she had she moved her school down there. And that's when my father managed that for her.
Well, he was a teacher.
No, he wasn't. No, he just managed the farm.
Oh, the farm, mm-hmm. I see, yeah. Was he a farmer?
No. He came from a little town. He knew about farming.
Yeah.
And I had a brother who was handicapped. He was not handicapped, but he was crippled. And he went to that. That's the reason we came here. He went to that school.
Oh, special school.
Mm-hmm.
Worthington had something special down there in those days. What was the name of that school?
It was Mrs. Eldridge's school. I think that's the only name I ever knew.
Mrs.
Eldridge.
School. Well, that's a first.
And she had a... it was quite a well-known school because they always had commencement. There's a picture in the Historical Society files of a commencement of that school in about 1906 or some such year.
I'll be darned.
And some of the most prominent people in early Worthington either graduated from that school or had children who graduated from that school.
That's amazing. How long did it last? We came in 1953, and I don't remember.
I think... in about 1915 or 1916, I think she closed the school and just had school for the handicapped.
Oh, she was sort of semi-retired or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I used to go to that school. I never knew whether I was from the first families or the handicapped.
it was a combination private school.
Uh-huh, it was private school. Quite a well-known school. And Mrs. Robinson, who used to be principal of Worthington High School and who was known by everybody who ever went to Worthington in high school until about 1930, was her niece.
Our house, where we are now, used to be a school. It was Miss Little's dancing school.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yes, that's where I learned to dance.
Really?
Yeah.
That's our living room now.
Yeah.
It was her former dance hall,
mm-hmm.
her dance school.
All my friends went there. When we were in high school.
I heard several people say they went to dancing school there. Some boys say they went reluctantly, and the girls said they enjoyed it. She lived in the upstairs and in the back. She had a kitchen. And the whole front was her dancing school. It was quite big.
But she also lived on Evening Street.
Yes, yeah, that's where we lived. 690 Evening Street. That was her school.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I was thinking you lived on your room.
No.
Oh, yes, I know that house. Mm-hmm.
It's had another addition since she left. It's had all kinds of additions to it.
She used to be a librarian, too.
Yeah.
The library was over Leisure's Drugstore, which is...
Was it?
Which is... Now, Leisure's Drugstore was in a building where Dr. Bonnell's office used to be, and the bank.
Oh, yes, the red brick building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the library was upstairs.
It was. Mm-hmm. Well, that building that was later the library, then what was that, the town hall or something?
You mean over on the green?
Yeah.
No, that was built for a library.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a contribution by Mrs. Deschler.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That building was not even there yet. Oh, yeah, okay.
There was a building facing New England, facing 161, which we call State Street.
Right.
And that was an old school building. It was an elementary school when I was a child.
Which corner was that?
It was down a little bit where the where Kilburn School is now. There was a building that was a high school.
What, old school?
And then it was just west of that. It wasn't it wasn't facing High Street. It faced 161.
Oh yeah.
There are four rooms in it. There were two, for a while there were two grades in each room, and then when the high school was built, where they had the eighth grade, I think, seventh and eighth grade over there, what is now, what was the old high school building.
Oh, that's where Kilbourne School was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I taught in that old school in the old elementary 1 year.
Really?
When I was in Ohio State, I had to stay out a year because I didn't have any money to go any farther. So I taught a year, and I taught for $90 a month. And I saved almost all of that. I saved like $750 out of that so I could go back to Ohio State another year.
Become a teacher. Mm. That was in the 20s?
That was 1925, because I graduated from Ohio State in 1923. Oh, wait a minute. I graduated in 1924, and this was about 1922. It was the year before I graduated. Because I went to Ohio State for 2 years, then I stayed out a year, and then I went back and finished in a year and a half.
Oh, I see. Then you came back and taught at Worthington.
No, I never taught in Worthington. No, after I graduated from Ohio State, I went to Cleveland.
Oh.
And I spent my whole career in Cleveland.
Oh, I see.
I taught in Collinwood High School for 36 years in Cleveland.
Oh, I see. You started here in Cleveland, and you came back here.
Yeah, I only taught here 1 year, and that was before I graduated from Ohio State.
I see. Oh. What made you come back to Worthington after?
Well, I married John Gilbert, whom I knew in the high school here.
Oh, I see.
He lived here.
Oh, I see.
I knew him. I knew his first wife, and she was a friend of mine when she died. We were married in 58.
Oh, I see. Then you were gone from...
I was gone from 23, you see, when 50. I graduated, until about 58, until I came back.
Oh, I see. Okay, then you wouldn't... Remember the Depression when you weren't here?
No.
Remember the Depression in Cleveland? We're lucky at Worthington. That was quite a time, the Depression. Wow.
Yes, that was dreadful.
I was a kid then.
It was dreadful to be a teacher then, because in Cleveland, of course, was just poverty stricken in so many areas, and I taught in an industrial area up there, and it was a near the New York Central Railroad yards. And our children were poor anyway before Depression, many of them. And it was so hard on children. It was so hard to be a teacher then.
I know. I was in school then. It was a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
Then your memories would be, Worthington would be From 13 to 23.
No, from about 20, from the time I graduated from Ohio State, 23 until 58. I really knew nothing about Worthington in those intervening years.
Yeah. You remember anything about the early years? From 13 to 23?
Oh, yes.
The World War era, and then just after. Who was mayor then? George Wing was mayor when we moved here. Do you remember who the mayor was then?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember. I know Mr. Fickell was superintendent of schools. That's about the only name I remember. I don't know who was mayor. But I remember a lot about the old families who lived, especially the old families who lived down what we call State Street. That is 161 now.
Let's see, who would they be, the Pennies?
Oh, the Pennies, and there was a family by the name of Kless and Pagels. Pagels was mayor.
Pagels.
Mm-hmm. He has children who used to live around here, and they don't anymore.
A lot of them moved away.
Helen Pagels now lives in Pocono Beach, or Pompano Beach in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And Martha's dead, and there was a boy, I forget his name. He lives around here somewhere. And Robinson and Jones, David Jones.
Oh, Horace Jones, he's the back of us. Mm-hmm. Was he here then?
Yeah, David Jones, his brother, was in my class.
Oh.
No, I knew Horace Jones for years.
He's right back of us, right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
So he, let's see, he died. But he moved away first, then he died. One of the things. Is David Jones still around, or do you know?
No, David Jones, had a handicap. He was, I think he'd had spinal meningitis or some children's disease. And he was always very frail. And he died, I think, shortly after we graduated from high school. I would think maybe in the 30s. In my class in Collinwood High School, class in Worthington High School had its 65th anniversary reunion in June. We have an organization here called the 30-Year Club. It's a people who graduated at least 30 years ago from Worthington High School. And we have a party every spring in June. And this year was our 65th. Well, we have a kind of a program that we follow. And the chairman has the people who graduated before 20 stand, and then the people from 20, 30, and so on. So he had people before 20 to stand, and there were a few. It's fewer every year, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like to talk, and I always have to talk. And he said, oh, sure, I will. So I said, I want you to know that this is my class. This is the 65th reunion of my class, and there are 50% of the survivors here. Me. There are just two of us left.
You probably wasn't a very large class. 14. Mm-hmm.
And it was the old school, you see, the school that stands near Evening Street, that old building.
On the corner there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was new. Our class, I think, as I remember, it was the first class to graduate from that building when it was new.
The library, you say, was George Bunnell there then?
His father.
His father.
Mm-hmm.
Was he George also?
Yeah. I don't know, I forget. But he had his office in that little extension to the building, you know, where George had his for so many years.
Was there a bank next door then?
Mm-hmm. That was Worthington Savings Bank.
It was still there.
Which is now the Ohio State Bank.
Yeah. Let's see, what was there down the street then? Was there any buildings? Those are all fairly new, aren't they?
There was an old building where the restaurant is now.
Uh-huh.
My father had a hardware store in that building.
We did.
And it was a frame building, and we lived in the back and upstairs at one time. I think we moved, my family moved from there after I went to Cleveland in 23 or 24. And there was also a hardware store across the street where the Worthington hardware store is. That's always been a hardware store.
It was a different owner then?
Yeah, Theron Wright's father owned it, James Wright.
James Wright. And then Mr. Evans bought it.
I don't know whether he bought it from James Wright or not, but it was the Evans corporation that that owned it.
The Maxton Chevrolet would not have been there then.
There was a garage that Frank Welling owned for a while.
On the corner?
Where that building, garage building is now on New England and
where the Ford body shop. Frank Welling's garage.
And one time there was a fire in there, a big fire at night. Of course, we live right almost next to it.
Oh, yeah.
And the cars inside burned, and it was quite a big loss.
See, the Jones Building would not have been there then, would it?
Yeah, it was there, but it wasn't called the Jones Building. It was.
Oh.
Mr. Parks had an office for the. I think his name was William Parks. Uh-huh. He lived down on Hartford Street, right where the cut through is for the bank, uh-huh. The outlet for the bank, uh-huh. The drive-in. You know, he lived right on the right-hand side of that. And he had a kind of a candy store and a ticket sales for the CD&M.
Oh, yeah.
Red Urban.
Red Urban. That was in the first floor of the Jones Building, or what is now the Jones Building. Mm-hmm.
Downstairs. I don't know what was upstairs, I forget.
Now we're talking about the early 20s.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So surprising, I thought the building was newer than that. Mm-mm.
No, it's been there a long time.
Let's see, now the old Corbin funeral, that's next door, wasn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was...
That's Kilburn Village, or Kilburn Building.
Yeah, was that Corbin funeral home then?
Yes.
It was, mm-hmm. It goes clear back to the 20s.
Yes, it goes back a long way.
And there was, remember the Easter grocery down the street next to the hardware?
Yeah, Teller's it was called. Teller's Grocery.
Is that the same Teller's?
No.
Different one?
I don't know if it's the same family or not. I don't think I ever asked them. They're friends of mine, Charlie and Helen Teller. But I don't think so. I think it was, see, there was the Tellers are really a Dublin family, I think. They're ancestors were all settled over there around Dublin, and I don't know whether this was another branch of the family or not, but for years that was Teller's Grocery.
We moved here, it was Woods, IGA. That was many years later. And the hardware moved over and expanded into it. There used to be a confectionery called Allerton there.
No, I don't know that. See, that was. No, that must have been a store while I was gone away from where they
were. Bernie's Drugstore. Was that a drugstore back in the 20s? It came later, but what is now Adams Drugstore?
Well, the drugstore in my day was Lazier's.
I was on the corner.
On the corner, but it used to be across the street from that. It used to be in the building where Dr. Bunnell's office was. And the library was upstairs, and the drugstore was downstairs.
And George put out in back.
At the side.
At the side.
Mm-hmm. And then the house in the back, of course, is where Bunnell's lived. The house, mm-hmm. That brick house that faces the square. See, I say the square, because that's what it was called when I was young. When I came back, it was the village green. The whole concept of wording had changed. Right. But it was the square.
The you know when Laser moved across the street?
Oh, it was after I left.
After you left, yeah.
It was after the 20s. And then you see Mr. Long, who had the drugstore when it was in that corner building there in the Jones Building.
Uh-huh.
He had always worked for Mr. Leisure for years. My brother did too. My brother really put himself through college by working at Mr. Leisure's drugstore. And he worked there all the time, summer and winter when he was in school.
And of Clarence Long was there when we moved here.
And he had the
brother.
Mr. Long was always wonderful to my brother.
He was a nice fellow.
Mm-hmm. He always liked my brother, and he helped him so much.
Harold Heckendorf said he is now living in what was Leisure's house.
Yes.
On the Granville Road.
Yes. That's right.
It's pronounced Leisure, huh?
Leisure.
You look at it, you would think it was Leisure.
Yes.
Leisure.
Yes. Now, Helen Leisure is still, is married the son, Lawrence Leisure. Lawrence has died of flu, I think, in World War I.
Oh, a lot of them died there.
But and Dunk, it was bad down at Camp Sherman. And I think that was the reason for his death. And Helen Leisure is still living. She lived down on Summit Street in Columbus.
Helen Leisure.
Mm-hmm. That's the daughter-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Did you go in the Worthington Inn or whatever it was called then?
Worthington Inn?
Yeah.
Hotel Central.
Hotel Central.
Yeah. Oh, sure, I remember Hotel Central. They used to come up, because in the early days, the people in Columbus, the society people of Columbus, would come up on horseback. There was a Columbus Riding Club. And they'd come up and make a whole day's trip of it, you know, come up on horseback. Oh, and then they'd quarter the horses out in the barn that stood on New England right behind the inn.
Oh, yeah.
And Freddie Van Loon, whose father owned the Hotel Central, did everything. He would take care of the horses, and he would help to cook, and he served. And then they'd sit out on the front porch and wait for Freddie to ring the bell. And then he'd come out in his white apron, and he'd ring the bell, and they'd all go in and have chicken dinner, family style, in that front dining room in Hotel Central.
Oh.
Not only that, but people used to come to Worthington to spend the summer.
In the hotel?
Mm-hmm. They'd come up for a few days, or maybe a week, or a weekend.
Okay.
And they'd sit on the front porch and talk. And I had a letter from a friend of mine who grew up in Worthington. And she now lives in Winston-Salem. And she writes to me every once in a while. And I sent her all the material I could find on the remodeling of the Worthington Hotel Central into Worthington Inn. And she wrote back and she said, "Do you remember the ladies who used to sit on the porch and come up here for the summer and take walks in the evening through the village? They all smelled so good. They had this nice perfume." But as kids, I suppose we noticed that.
That's amazing. They would come up here. I guess they did that in those days. They've got a hotel and just relax.
Oh, yeah, it's like a summer resort.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there were a lot of summer places around. Not a lot, but the old building out on the Harding Sanitarium grounds, you know, was a family home of, and I can't think of the name of the family now, it's quite a famous name in Columbus, but they used to come out. They'd have a...
It was a vacation resort?
They'd stay all summer. The whole family would come from their house down on Broad Street in Columbus. Uh-huh. They'd come out for the summer.
It was their summer home.
Yeah. And that house had a lovely porch all around. The men would take the Pennsylvania train down to the Union Station in Columbus to work each day. See that station out there where the railroad museum is?
Yeah.
Well, that was Pennsylvania.
The train used to stop in Worthington.
Oh, yeah. It ran from Sandusky to Columbus. And they had, it was like a commuter's train. And they'd take the train down to the Union Station. I don't know if they had an evening train to come back or not. Maybe they came back on the CDM. A lot of men in Worthington in the early days, in my day, worked in Columbus and took the CDM. They didn't drive to Columbus. They didn't use their cars for that. They'd use their cars just for pleasure, you know, put them up in the winter. And because the batteries wouldn't work in winter.
I suppose in the 20s, the road wasn't too good between here and the
Well, Worthington wasn't even, the high street wasn't even paved in the early 20s.
Dirt road.
It was dirt road.
Yeah, it would be too great. The railroad would be better.
And then there's a yellow house over here on Howard, I think it is, which was the farmhouse, or it was a summer home, of a family by the name of Park, Howard Park. They were bankers in Columbus, and they came
at the Park Federal Savings?
I don't know, probably. Yeah, I never thought of that. Maybe it was that day. But they would come up here for the summer, and they would, there was a long lane from High Street back to their house, right over here on Howard. They had a girl, Martha, and she and I were about the same age, so we got acquainted as kids do, you know.
Right.
And she would say to me, "Now my aunts are coming out tomorrow. They're from Columbus, and they're going to stay all summer with us. They came. It took them all day. They came from their house on Broad Street, in Columbus, and in their electric car. And they started in the morning. It took them all day to go up to Worthington."
Yeah, those cars didn't go very fast. No. They're electric.
And in the fall, get in their electric car and go back. It was a vacation. A summer vacation.
Well, that's easy to believe because the roads were so bad you couldn't really go anywhere, unless you went on the railroad. And then later they built the roads and people could go.
I remember when High Street was paved. It wasn't in the 20s. It was about 1917, I think. And up to that time it was a dirt road. See, my husband's family had a dairy, and they kept their cows. They owned the lot on New England and High on the southeast corner, where this Ohio Station is now.
Oh, yeah.
They owned all of that clear down to Hartford, and they had a beautiful brick house there where my husband's grandfather and aunt lived. Then the Gilberts had a frame house on Hartford and New England, and then they had a big barn there. And they kept their cows in that barn. And when I was young, the boys would bring the cows home in the afternoon after school, and they would drive them down High Street from Medica Estates, which they also owned. And
well, Medica Estates was there.
Yeah, in the early days. Mm-hmm. They sold it for nothing during the Depression. And the cow, they put the cows out to pasture in many.
We're talking about the early 20s now.
Yeah, earlier than that, too.
Late teens, early 20s, yeah.
Like 16, 17, 18, maybe. Yeah, the very early 20s.
The house would have been right next door to the Masonic temple.
Mm-hmm. The house was back a little bit. The house faced New England rather than High Street. So they would keep the cows in the barn overnight and then milk them in the morning and then take them back up High Street to Medica Estates and they'd be out to pasture all day.
Oh, I see. This is while Medica Estates was a pasture.
Yeah.
Before it became a housing
area. Nothing there.
Oh, yeah.
Pasture land.
So the cows were walking through the streets of Worthington.
Yeah, right up the High Street.
Yeah. All right. Any of them ever get hit by the CDNA?
I don't think so. Well, we had some wonderful pictures over at the in our files at the Historical Society of High and New England. And in one, there's a chicken right out of the center. See, Worthington was a village. It was separate from Columbus. It was country between Worthington and North Columbus.
Yeah, probably stopped, got up to Morse Road, but that took a while.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, we used to drive up here, just for an evening drive, for pleasure, and you leave Columbus, you'd go through the country till you got to Worthington.
Sure.
If we were ambitious, we'd go on up to, what was that place, the Brown Fruit Farm.
Oh, yes.
Way up there. Mm-hmm. That was a long, long trip.
Yeah, Frame Brown.
Mm-hmm. Did you know the Brown Fruit Farm? We were out of Worthington, weren't we?
Yes.
They're almost up in Delaware County.
Yeah, Merrin Sellers' father was manager of Brown Fruit Farm, and he was in my class, and he used to come to school each day on the CDNM.
How are we doing?
When I went to college, the only reason I could go to college was that we lived here, and I could take the CDNM down to North Columbus. And you get off at what is that, along about Arcadia, I think.
Oh yeah.
And then you take
the big car barn is.
Yes.
Was.
And the old Tangie Park.
Right.
And then you take the city line in down to the campus.
That'll take you quite a while.
No, not too long.
But you had a chance to study while you were writing down. No.
The city now was very fast.
Yeah, they did.
Really did.
They did. I remember those.
Many towns had those electric and interurban systems, and it was good communication.
Yeah. Some of those would go maybe 50, 60 miles.
Oh, yes.
Dangerous.
Way.
Yeah. I don't recall any of them ever having a wreck. I suppose they did occasionally.
I don't know.
I don't recall any.
You know, up north of, about where that camp is, that Boy Scout camp, what's the name of it? Camp Lazarus?
Oh, yeah, in the ravine there.
There used to be a trestle across that ravine.
I remember that trestle. That was the CDNM, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that was a wild ride across there, because the CDNM would go fast, and that thing would sway, and the trestle would sway. That was a wild ride.
I bet. Were you ever across there?
Oh, we used to go up there all the time to Glenmary Park to ski.
Oh, Glenmary. That was right in the same ravine, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right where the Josephine is now.
Yeah, across from Josephine. That's Flint Road. Where it was.
Do you say skate? Ice skate?
Yeah, there was a little lake up there, and we'd go up there to ice skate. Winter, summer, we had picnics up there. There was a pavilion at Glenmary Park where they used to have dances and have a good band, you know, in summer.
Yeah. That was east of high or west?
East.
East.
The lake is still there, I think.
That's a lot of Flint Roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard the name.
Glenmary Park. Church picnics. They always had church picnics up there.
Oh, yeah.
We all go up on the CDNM.
Yeah, let's see here.
Winter, we would. It was wonderful around here in winter because there was good coasting areas. We coast. There was a good hill behind St. Michael's Church, and we'd coast down there, and in winter we'd play up and down the ravine in Rush Village is. There's a stream along there.
Rush Creek, yeah.
And Rush Creek, and we'd play along there and set traps. We never caught anything, so we could catch beavers or something. And then we would... the older kids, when I was in high school, we would coast down Granville Road.
Yeah, that's about a half mile hill.
You could only go down that once. You could go from High Street to the river, and then it took you all evening to walk back. You know, you could only go down about once.
That must have been quite a ride.
It was. Everybody went. All high school kids coasted there every night.
Be a long run with no stops.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Like there were no cars because nobody drove in winter.
I imagine. Was Granville Road paved then?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
This is early 20s, late teens.
Mm-hmm. It might have been a hardtop road. Probably it was a hardtop
road. Oh, yeah.
There really was a wonderful place to grow up in. It had all the advantages of a small town, and it was a fine small town. It had good schools, and it had good cultural things here, cultural life.
Uh-huh.
And it was a good place, and near the university, and near the city. You had the advantages of the city and a village. It really was a wonderful place to grow up.
Yeah, Columbus was nearby if you needed something from the city.
And we went... My mother was quite musical. We used to go to the concerts. Schoenheim and Chrysler.
Oh, yeah.
All those people were
all the old
famous then. We heard all of those down at Olentangie Park. They had summer opera, and they had the light musicals and Gilbert and Sullivan operas in the theater down there.
Yeah.
And we could go down there. we could shop in the city. We went to the old North Market, not North Market, the Central Market.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was quite a trip all the way down there. But.
And we'd go there on Saturday. Saturday evening, my father would take us on to the CD&M. We'd buy things for the week.
Right, Saturday night shopping. Huh? Everyone used to do that. Mm-hmm. My parents used to
take that. Baskets and fill them up and bring them home.
Right.
And there was Lazarus.
Yeah, downtown. Mm-hmm.
Then all the advantages of the city, but we lived in a small town.
Okay. I think we've covered a lot of things. I suppose you're getting a little bit tired.
No. No. You know what?
Let's see, what have we not covered? You had a big space in there from the middle 20s to the early 50s when you were not here.
No, I wasn't there. I really don't know anything about the city. When I came back to Worthington, it was entirely different.
Oh, yeah.
It had grown, and it was. We used to know about everybody in town. You know, we knew who they were, and there were so few, really, very few people of my life in Worthington left. They either moved away or died.
When we moved here in 53, there was like 1,500 people there, 2,000 maybe, which is not much. You could almost know most of those people. But now it's about 15,000. So there's no way you could know that many people.
I think it was about 500.
In the early 20s.
In the early 20s, and from 1915 to the early 20s, I think that's about the population.
You could be pretty well acquainted with
them. Yes, you knew who everybody was
that
by sight.
100 and some families.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 100 families.
No, but some of the families are still here. The Hardings were here in the old days. I remember Warren Harding used to come here when he was campaigning. And
oh.
He, one summer he, because George, his brother was here, and he came here, and almost everybody in Worthington went out to Harding's, and he sat on the porch out there, and everybody stood around and listened to him talk.
Was that Harding Sanitarium then?
Yes. So that was George Harding the second. See, this one now is the third and the fourth.
Oh. Yeah, the old fellow is retiring now. He retired recently.
Well, it was his father
uh-huh.
who was here then.
That place has gained quite a reputation.
Yes, it's a fine hospital. It's so pretty out there. We used to play up and down that ravine. And
yeah, the Rush Creek comes in the back. Mm,
the Hardings had a tennis court, and tennis was very popular then.
Really?
We all played tennis, and we used to go out there to play.
Very neighborly then.
Oh, yes.
You could just go to someone's tennis court and play. They were happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. It's nice to be neighborly.
Oh, yes, the Hardings were always a part of this town. See, the boys went to school. George and Warren were. George was about two. Was in my brother's class, which is about 2 years younger. And Warren was 3 or 4 years younger than I was.
Well, you knew some of the Hardings.
Oh yes. See, they were always a part. Although they were Seventh Day Adventists, of course, and they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
They were connected to the church in Worthington, but they were a part of the town. They knew everybody. And
they had to go out of town to go to find a church.
I don't know how.
Eventually, they built a church up there.
Yes. Uh-huh. See, there's a big Seventh-day Adventist community in here now, but then I don't think there was any. Probably the Hardings and the people who worked in their hospital. Probably were the only Seventh-day Adventists in town. So I don't know if there was a church in Columbus. I suppose so.
I wonder if they attracted that community. Since they,
oh, yes.
The Hardings attracted them there.
Yes. People who worked in the hospital came here and settled here. I'm sure that they started that.
So the Hardings influence that brought that in. I heard somewhere that it was the Hardings that started the Worthington Foods because their religion said they should not eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
So they started this vegetarian type meat substitute.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a Harding project. Is that correct? That's what I've heard. Oh, that. Yes.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
The whole area they've developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's become quite a big thing. They sold it to that one by
Keyboard.
Yeah, bigger company.